Mormon Stories Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation. All donations to Mormon Stories are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at MormonStories.org. Hello and welcome to another edition of Mormon Stories Podcast. I'm your host, John DeLynn. And I'm very excited to have two very special guests with us today. Today we have with us Hans and Birgitta Mattsson from Sweden. So Hans, welcome to Mormon Stories.
Oh, thank you, John. It's nice to be here.
And Birgitta, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's so nice to be here.
Excellent. Well, there are many very exciting things about this interview, but I think from the beginning, I'll just say what I think is going to be most interesting to the listening audience, and that's that Hans Mattsson has served in the LDS Church. He's born in the church, raised in the church, in the country of Sweden, so that's interesting, and we're going to talk a lot about that. I believe he's third generation LDS, so I believe his grandfather converted to the church in Sweden. And maybe what's going to be most interesting about this interview is that Hans not only served as a bishop, you know, branch presidency in bishopric and a stake president, but he also served in the third quorum of the 70 in the LDS Church from the year 2000 to 2005. So he served for 5 years as a member as a 70 within the church in a position that I believe they call area authority. That's, you know, two-thirds of why I think this interview is very important and interesting. But also, after Hans was released from his position as a member of the Quorum of the 70, he actually went through what maybe some would call a crisis of faith, where his testimony became something that he really struggled with. And I believe Birgitta also went through a similar process. And so we're going to talk about what that process was like for Hans and Birgitta. And we're also going to, talk about all those experiences and how they're feeling today about everything. And so we think that that's going to be important. Hans and Birgitta are active in the church today, as am I. So I guess I wanted to first ask Hans and Birgitta, if you want to add something, why did you want to do this interview? Just to let people know from the outset, yeah, why we're talking.
You know, John, we've been talking about maybe doing this interview for a year or two, but I didn't feel I was quite ready to put myself on the spot and to explain why I'm feeling like I feel and know what I know. And I just feel like the process is now so far gone that I feel confident, and I really like to do a new step in my life to go carry on my life with not only have faith Christ, but there is something more in my life than this.
Right. And so you feel ready for the interview. What do you hope is accomplished by the end of this interview? If you had a few objectives, is it, other than to just tell your interesting story?
Yeah. You know, I met a lot of people, and they've gone through the same struggles, the same faith crisis, and every time I have listened to the podcast or read about it, it's helped me. And my mind is on them. I like to help them, and I hope they can find that they are not crazy. They are not crazy. They are just, it's true. There is a lot of things that really make you have thoughts and doubts, and you really need to have answers on the church and its history. So I hope this will be a help for those people to know that not alone.
Good. Okay. Birgitta, do you have any additional thoughts of why you wanted to conduct this interview or be a part of the interview?
I think it's important for Hans to like he said, this is the right time for him to do it, because he has gone through a lot of experiences, and now it feels like the time is right to do this, and I think it's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, personally, I'm very interested in just what it's like to be a member of the church in Sweden. I'm very interested in what it's like to serve as an area authority in the member in the Quorum of the 70, the good and the challenging. I'm interested in what the church is like in Europe. I'm interested in what it's like to interact with other general authorities and apostles, etc. So that's all something that's very interesting to me. And then what I hear you both saying is that the faith crisis thing has been very difficult for both of you, and that you also see people who struggle in their faith having many challenges and difficulties throughout the world. And you feel like by telling your story, you'll be able to help others who are struggling, help them be understood better, gain more empathy, help them get more love and support, maybe help the church find better ways to help and support them. And so in a way, you want to help others. But at the same time, you're both still active in the church. Is that right, Hans?
Yeah, we visit church. We go to church. And of course, I don't have the same faith as I used to have. It's impossible to go back where I was.
Right.
Because all the new knowledge about the church make me, I think I could say, I've grown a lot. And
right.
I have a new view on it. And so I still go to church. And I love the people. I love my friends. And I love my family's there. And it's just wonderful to be there.
Okay. And I'm sure some of the teachings and the doctrines and the spirit are an important part of that too.
Yes. Many Sundays we feel quite happy to go home. And
right.
Some Sundays we are more or less happy about it.
It just depends.
It depends.
Okay. But I think all of us have the goal of just helping people with this interview. We're not here to tear the church down or to ask people to reconsider their faith. That's my view.
That's correct, John. That's really what we are really truth seeker, and we're not here to find all the faults you can find, and we don't want to tear down the church.
Okay.
I mean, the church is there, and the people are there, and it's up to everybody to understand what they like to do and to follow the teachings they know about or try to know more about the teachings.
Good. Okay, excellent. Well, let's begin. So the biggest question that I had from the start that I think people are going to want to make sure they get clear on, is there a difference between a general authority and an area authority? And just talk a little bit about what the difference is or isn't.
Well, I think when I was called as an area authority, they explained for me that this is a calling of a 70, and every 70 are acting under direction of the 12. And that means that there are two names of, or you can call, general authorities. They can serve all over the world, and they do it for full time. An area authority is located in an area and have the same callings there, but they are also doing their regular work and families and yeah.
So this they serve as 70, but they have their full time jobs.
Yes.
And they have to provide for the family.
We provide for ourselves, and we don't have a P day on Mondays.
Okay, that's significant.
We work all the time.
And general authorities are compensated for their work, right?
That's what I understand, you know.
Okay, but you receive no financial...
No, they pay for my flying tickets and sometimes even the food.
And how about like travel reimbursement for like driving and
yes.
parking? And
if I need to use my own car, they reimburse. I got to get the money back from it, yes.
But they're all 70s. General authorities, area
yep.
authorities, they're all 70s.
That's
they all
it is.
Operate under the 12, Quorum of the 12.
Yeah, they don't have any keys. They only works under direction of the 12.
Okay, no so, keys. Even general authorities that aren't apostles.
You're right. A 70 don't have any keys.
Okay.
They only can work when they get the, or I could say, loan the key from an apostle.
An apostle will loan an authority.
Yeah, here is the key for you to use.
Okay.
I can use their keys. So every time I have an assignment, it usually comes from Elder Packer. or the 12th in a letter that you should go to Prague, or you should go to Berlin, or you should go to Vienna in Austria, whatever it was.
Was President Packer the president of the Quorum of the 12 for the entire time you served
He was acting president.
Okay.
Because President Monson was in the first presidency.
Okay.
So the Packer was the one who acted.
Okay, so President Hinckley was still...
He was still the
president of the church for all 5 of those years?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, so during those 5 years, Hinckley was president.
Yes.
Monson was in the quorum, was in the first presidency.
Yes, he was the counselor.
Elder Packer was acting president.
Yep,
okay,
right.
Great. Okay, so let's begin really quick and just talk really briefly about how your family came into the church.
Well, that's a very interesting story. It really was my grandfather in the early 1900s.
What was his name?
His name was Oscar.
Oscar?
Oscar Fredrik Mattsson.
Okay.
He is the hero.
All right.
Yeah.
Was he one of the first Swedish members of the church?
No. The first member in Sweden was in 1850.
Wow.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. So the church It was
a sailor who met some Mormons, and he went home and baptized someone up in Gävle.
Okay.
Is the name of the place. But still, the church was very small because... About 30,000 of the members immigrated to Salt Lake City in Utah.
They just would all come here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So even my father and grandfather had the plans to go to Zion, as they called it. Not Independence, but Utah. And I saw the maps and the roads, so we should travel there and everything, but...
But they stayed.
Yeah, the prophet said you stay and build the kingdom in your own home.
Any idea what converted him to the church?
Yes.
Do you know the story of like...
I know the story that he was working and once he was sick. He was home. And two missionaries comes and knock on the door and said that they were representing the Church of Jesus Christ. And the wife was open the door, Hildegard. And said, "We're not interested, thank you, bye-bye." And from his bedroom, he was asking his wife, "Who was it?" And he explained there was two missionaries, and then Oscar asked her to go after them and get them back. So she did, and the missionaries come back, and after that they taught and baptized those two, and then the kids, the children.
Did you know your grandfather?
I met my grandfather, yes. I was 16 or 17 years when he died.
Okay, so you knew him for quite some time?
Yes, but my grandmother was dead when I was born.
Okay.
But he was there, and my father was just a little kid then. I think he was 6-7 years or so.
When my
grandfather Oscar was baptized.
Okay.
So this would be the first generation. The second generation was my father, of course. When he was 8 or 10 or something, he was baptized.
And did your grandfather serve in leadership positions in the church, or was he just a regular member?
Well, it was a very small area, you know, in Gothenburg, Sweden. And he served in the branch presidency, probably. I don't really know that much those details, what he did. I just know he loved Joseph Smith. He always talked about Joseph Smith. He was just fascinated about Joseph Smith.
So the pillars of his testimony were the prophet.
Yeah.
And
of course, at that time, you always talk about going to Zion.
Did he ever get to visit Utah? Do you know?
No. He never did.
Never got to see
No. But we get him to the temple in Switzerland.
So he got to visit a temple?
Yes.
Okay.
The temple there was, I think it was 1958. The Zollikofen temple in Bern was dedicated. And we were down there as well as a family. We went on a train.
Oh, you went with him?
Yeah.
Wow.
My whole family, like my father and my brothers.
And, yeah, okay.
And we went there, and he was sealed, and he had a carrot.
He was sealed to?
His wife and the rest of the family were sealed together.
Wow, so your dad would have been sealed to his parents.
Yep.
And then you guys would have been sealed
to our parents.
To your parents. Yes. All in the same trip?
Same trip.
What a beautiful trip. Now, Birgitta, you weren't part of the family yet, is that right?
No, that's right.
Okay. No. You came later.
I came later.
We'll get to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad she wasn't, because I was only 8 years of age.
So was your father a leader in
My
Sweden?
Father really was a good man and a good leader. He served as in the leadership. I know he was the district president for many years.
That's like a state president.
It's like a state president. Yes, you're right.
So many branches and a district president.
Okay. And he really was very, very much like a true believing Mormon.
Okay.
And
so the Mattsson family name in Sweden, I've lived in, like when I lived in Texas, the Prince family was just really well known in Houston. Yeah. Is the Mattsson family name sort of known in Sweden as a several generations of church leaders?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
And if you ask all missionaries who've been to Sweden, they probably know the Mattsson family quite well.
Okay, and that'd be your dad and your grandfather.
Yes,
potentially.
Yes, okay. You're right.
You and your, okay, so how many siblings? Brothers, sisters?
I have three.
Three
brothers.
Three brothers.
Two older ones and one twin brother.
Okay. And what was church? What was church like growing up for you and your brothers?
The church in Sweden at that time was kind of small. We felt that we were a chosen people, like to be able to make it. Really, I mean, go to school about. Thousands of pupils there, and maybe you are the only member in the church. And even to be religious is kind of difficult sometimes, you know. People feel you're a little bit crazy if you believe in God and so on. But we did have a very good family. We did always have family home evenings, and we also felt that we were kind of a special. In a good way that the Lord chosen us that we are able to be members in the church, and we got the priesthood. We probably were very good in pre-existence. At least that's what we taught. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's what we taught. And it helped us to carry on. And then growing up as a youth as well, we have a very good group of youth that we were together in church and we were together after during the weekdays and so on.
What types of activities?
We had good activities. We of course sports. We had youth conferences. We had theaters, like the mutual program. You know, you have road shows and kind of dances, and we also have what we call a team of dancers, like a folk folk team.
Yeah.
All Swedish dances. You know, we went down and like the. I don't say we are more BYU dancers, but we were at least 10 of us.
Okay.
And we went around even to some other small branches.
And this would have been, you would have been a teenager in the church in the 60s?
Or? It will be in the 60s, yes.
Okay, when the Beatles were running around. And
they were not for the Beatles. They were not from the Lord. They were from another side.
And you didn't like the Beatles?
I love them. Oh. But the leader said that you're not supposed to listen to them because they take you to some...
Bad place.
Warmer place.
Okay. did you have a testimony as a teenager?
I'll tell you the story. That's very interesting. We always walked to church. We were not that rich, so we walk all the time. You know, it take an hour to go to church, walk home again, and then we walk back again for a second meeting, and I walk home again. So we walked a lot, and we talked to the families. But when we turned about 12, our father really talked to me, at least, and my twin brother, and said that, I think you guys are only go to church because mom and dad are doing so. You need to get your own testimony. You need to know for yourself. So he gave us a book. Of course, we had a Book of Mormon, but he more physically gave us our Book of Mormon and said, you have to read it. You have to pray about it. You have to get your own testimony. And what we did was that we made an opinion poll with questions we thought was important or interesting. And Then we went out to different churches like the Pentecostal Church, the Church of Sweden Lutherans, and some other churches, just to see what they had for kind of answers to those questions. But also we read the Book of Mormon, we really did. Every day it was so focused and prayed. And I can just tell you now, John, that a special feeling and warm feeling just come over my whole body, and I just felt that this is something very good. Just like it says, you know, there's spiritual experience, and I guess that's what I felt. I had my own testimony.
And around what age did that come for you?
About 12, 13.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And so from then on, you had a strong testimony.
I was just dedicated to the Lord and wanted to do His will.
Okay. So you served a mission?
I did. And in our family, and even in among the youth in Sweden, it's not that common at that time that you went on a mission. But there were once in a while someone who went out on a mission. So my oldest brother never did go on a mission. But I really had a good feeling for the missionary work. And one day I called my dad and said, "Dad, I'd like to go on a mission." And just a few weeks after, my brother, who then were on BYU, sent a letter and said, "I'd like to come home and go on a mission." And he said, "Are you sure? You know, I'm not that fond on going on mission. I'm not that supportive for missionary work." He loved missionary work, but he didn't. There was something there that he didn't support really.
Your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
But then when we were, he felt that we did it because we wanted to do it, not that he asked us to do it or forced us.
Right.
He said, "I will support you 100%.
Okay.
See, he was very supportive, and we got our callings. In England, UK was there, and we went on a mission.
Now, is this a twin brother?
Yes.
So you guys are twins?
We are
twins. Are you identical twins, or?
No, we are two ex-twins, I think. Okay. That's what you would say. We look like brothers.
Okay.
More or less.
Okay. So you both went to the British Isles?
Same day, the 25th of September, 1970.
Okay, great. All right.
He went to the north and to the central mission.
Okay.
Birmingham, that's my mission.
Okay. And how was your mission experience?
First of all, we didn't have any MTCs. And the language...
No MTC, no missionary training center.
No missionary training center.
Okay, so you spoke Swedish. Did you speak English?
I was supposed to do that, but I really had a hard time, really, because I didn't like languages. I think languages is kind of a, you can spell it some way, but you don't pronounce it. What? How do you spell it? But I like mathematics, like 2 + 2 is always 4. You can't make it any different. So I was not keen on to learn languages. So I know, of course, a boy, a dog, a cat, and so on. You know.
Right.
That was a tough time.
Okay.
Very tough time, you know.
Is it 2 years or 3?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And how'd you like it?
After a while, I loved it.
Okay. Took a while?
The first days, I was crying in the toilet.
Oh.
I said, "The Lord make a mistake by sending me here."
Right, right.
And the elders comes with the sticks. I didn't know what sticks was. And this is a study guide and everything. I couldn't even read that.
You couldn't even read English, really?
No. Nope.
And so you just had to learn...
Everything.
Without teachers, without language training.
Yeah, I had a wonderful companion from Orem, Utah.
And he taught you, what was his name?
His name is Arthur Paul McKinley.
Okay, and he helped teach you English?
He helped me with everything.
That's great.
I remember having a sore throat. I didn't know what to say, so I know behind me is the back, and this is the front. And then I said, "I have a sore front neck." So he got that. But I made a deal with the Lord. I told him, "You send me here. It's not my problem. It's your problem." So I will go up early in the morning, 4:30. And I will memorize the discussion. You know, that time you had a book
with
70 pages. you were supposed to learn every word, the question and the answers. And then you have a lot of scriptures as well to learn. So I went up every morning and said, "Hello, Lord, here I am. I'm your problem. Let me do it." So I memorized all the discussions in English, but I did not know what I was talking about.
Right, you're just saying the words.
I was saying the words, but I learned to use every word. So in 2 days, I learned 3 words. Then I tried the next word. And in the end, I learned at least the discussions and understood what I was talking about.
Did you have success on your mission? Were you able to bring families into the church?
The Lord really blessed us a lot with, if you think success is baptism, we had a lot of them, yes.
Did you have spiritual experiences on your mission?
We had so many of them. And I mean, you just feel like this must be the Lord helping you. I mean, we could pray in the morning and ask, feel like we should track that area. And we could go there and knock on the door and ask, "Did you pray this morning that we can visit you?" And some people said, "No, I haven't prayed about you." "Oh, I'm sad. Someone here is waiting for us." So we knocked on the next door and we find the girl. No, we find the family. And we just felt like you were in tune.
That's great. So you loved it.
I loved my mission. I really did. We had a great mission president and we learned a lot. Of course, sometime there were what I felt too much of a sales approach. You count the numbers. And before the mission president went home, the APs or the assistant to the president said, "Let them get into the water. We need numbers." And I'd hate that. I really did. I thought, this is not the Lord's way. But anyway, I call them, area policemen, so APs. So.
Now, this was 7 years,
70 to 72.
This would have been somewhere between 7 and 10 years after the baseball baptism scandal in the British Isles.
Yeah, I met some of them.
So did you ran into those people who were baptized for the baseball programs?
Yes, I did meet some of them. And some of them was pretty active, but most of them didn't know they were members of the church.
I'm just a little surprised that the sales techniques would continue. I would have thought they would have sort of learned the lesson of the early 60s and then stopped using those techniques.
Well, we didn't use baptisms for we didn't use baseball for baptisms.
Right.
We use sales techniques. And we tried to be very professional in that. But
okay.
But sometimes you need numbers, and when you baptize people too quick, you know, they don't know about the gospel really.
Right.
And we thought that maybe when they got the Holy Ghost, they will be able to understand the rest of the things, like word of wisdom or the tidings. So.
Right, right. Okay. All right, Birgitta, let's turn to you for just a little bit. Tell us just a little bit about how you ended up kind of meeting Hans and joining the church.
Yeah. I was getting a job in a military service place, and I was making the food there, and that's the place I met Hans, and we started dated, and from the beginning he was told me about the church and the gospel, and I was converted to the gospel. I was 17 years of age. My family let me do it, and they treated me very respectfully. And I really loved the church. I loved the feeling of being there with all kind people, loving people. I loved the way I really got an answer of praying about the Book of Mormon, about the church. And it really was a good feeling.
So you didn't feel like you were just joining the church because of Hans. you also felt like you received a spiritual witness.
Yes, I really did. But of course, I love Hans so much, so that must affect me also. But
sure.
It was really important for me to have my own testimony.
Right.
And I received one. I really did.
Now, last night as we were talking, you shared with us that you had a habit that you stopped when you met Hans. Tell us about that really quickly.
Well, he asked me out for dancing. And we were sitting there at a table, and his eyes got red. And I asked him, why your eyes are getting so red? And he said, it's because of the smoke. And then I just felt, well, I quit smoking. So from that day, I quit smoking.
So you quit smoking for Hans?
Yes, I did.
All right. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you guys met. Now, Hans, were you in the military? Did you serve after your mission?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
After my mission in Sweden, we are all compelled to do military service.
Okay.
And, of course, I was one of them. So I went in there, 1973.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was a chauffeur for the general or whatever you would call that. And when he was not on the road, I drove a truck
right.
to the kitchen, and there I met Birgitta.
Okay.
Drinking coffee, you know.
Oh, all those
and
things.
And smoking.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. How can that be a Mormon?
Okay, so were you married in the temple then?
No. We married before we were going to the temple, because the law of Sweden that time didn't recognize the church as a marriage, what do you call it?
Okay, you can't get married in the
no.
church. You get married civilly first.
Yes, and then we went to Switzerland.
Okay.
In Bern Temple, and
okay.
there we were sealed. And even, I think it was before you were a member, Birgitta, for the 12 months.
Yes.
You have a special permission from the present Kimball, I think it was, yeah.
So you received permission to get baptized, to get sealed in the temple
yeah.
before waiting a year after your civil marriage.
Yeah, because of the long journey, the trip to Switzerland. And
okay.
So we were so happy about that.
Okay. And Birgitta, how many children have you had together with Hans?
We have 5 children, 3 boys first, and then 2 wonderful girls.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that a big family in Sweden or a small family in Sweden?
It's quite big. It's not so common that you have 5 children, really.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But I think I remember you guys saying yesterday that there were families with bigger, LDS families with bigger, more children, true?
Yes, that's true. Some of them have 8, 10, 12 children.
Okay, so
yes.
Some of that happened in Utah in the 60s and 70s was also happening in Sweden.
Yes.
Okay, all right. But for you, did 5 feel like, how did 5 feel for you?
It feel great. Yes, it really did. I love have my children.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Mm. Okay. Well, we're going to do a bit of a disservice to your history, because we're going to kind of skip over the years prior to your becoming an area authority, because I kind of want to focus on that. But just briefly talk about kind of how you rose in the leadership ranks of the church, like what callings happened in succession, not every calling, but the
no.
major ones, by ages, maybe.
I maybe just can start like this. From after my mission, I was called in the branch presidency and as a bishop and so on. So I was always sitting on the stand. I always remember looking at Birgitta when she was sitting in the audience and see all the kids kicking her legs and so on. And I was sitting there on the stand, and I thought sometime really bad. I couldn't help her. So
you were on the stand for how many years?
From that I was 24.
Until when?
Well, say 8 years ago.
Okay, so that's from 24 to 46?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sure.
And Birgitta, what was that like to have your husband in high levels of leadership while you have five young kids. What was that like for you?
Sometimes it was kind of tough, but I always like to be home with my kids. I really love kids. And so I think I was very supportive to Hans, and I didn't feel bad about it. I really liked it.
You loved it?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were a part of his service?
Yes.
How? How did that work?
Because I could support him, he could do a better job.
Right.
And his talents are so special, I think, because he kind of can talk to people in a very natural way and show great feelings towards other people and other... He can take people. I don't know how to explain it. And I really thought it was important for me to let him be on the... How do you say, the scene or the...
sort of to be visible, to
yes.
be seen by everybody.
Yeah.
So for you, it wasn't, he's always off and gone and he's always working and I'm home alone and I'm not getting any support. You weren't feeling those feelings.
No.
What you were feeling what?
I was feeling, I have full up with my kids and
right.
I couldn't... think so much about him.
Right.
And I also like to do a lot of things by myself, have my own interests, hobbies.
Yeah.
That I went into. So that was no real big deal for me, having him travel.
Sounds like you're saying you were happy.
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah.
Hans, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I think if you just say about genealogy, Birgitta was very, very much into genealogy, and she was just focused and helped a lot of people as well. But I can also say that she was tremendously supportive. She didn't tell me, you have to come home now, you can't go now, you can't be on that meeting. She was always supportive. But I can also feel that she was alone sometimes.
That she was alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the kids are sick sometimes. You really feel that you should be there, but you couldn't.
Right. Birgitta, did you have callings in the church while Hans was serving in these higher-level callings?
Of course.
What kind of callings did you have?
I was in the young women presidency. I was in the primary presidency. I was primary president. And when he was called as the Area 70, I was called as the Relief Society President in the Stake of Stockholm, South Stake.
Wow. So you were having callings too?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, so Hans, talk about just briefly the main callings you had.
Well, I served as a bishop. I served in High Council, a council to the Stake President, a council to the Mission President in Sweden, and a stake president.
And 10 years as stake president?
No, because we moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So stake president and then?
And then the calling was to area authority.
Okay. And that happened in 2000?
2000, yes.
And what was your professional career?
I've been working all my life really with computers.
Okay.
Not making them, but selling them. And,
okay.
And yeah, sales and marketing.
Okay.
And in the end, I was a part owner of a good company.
Okay.
That we tried to sell, and we did sell it, and yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
So it was a busy time.
Yes.
Very busy, really.
Sounds like you've had a busy life, yeah.
And a great life.
Yeah. Was it hard for you, up until becoming general authority, to be away from your family, to be away from your wife, to be away from your kids? Or were you able to maintain a good work-life balance? There's sort of work, church, and then family balance. Did you feel you were gone all the time? Did you feel like you had a good balance? Did you feel like, you know, what'd you feel?
I feel really I had a good relationship with the children and with the Birgitta, but many times I feel I wasn't there. I was out traveling. And also sometimes I felt like I would like to have Birgitta with me as my companion. If you do a mission tour, usually you will have your wife with you to teach the missionaries and so on. But she has her calling in the state presidency for the Relief Society. So she had to go to visit other wards and branches. So
okay.
That's what I felt sometimes. We were not that close, but we did their jobs.
Okay. And by and large, did you feel happy to be serving in these leadership positions before becoming an area authority?
I think I always been happy because maybe it's because you're always on the spot, like on the scene.
Yeah.
The spotlight is on you, and not to be selfish, but there is always a lot of credit given to you. They think you're doing a good job, and you feel like you're boasting yourself, and maybe that's a good time to come home and be
so you
put
felt,
back.
You felt like people loved you and respected you and revered
that's
you.
That's what I really felt, yes. Of course, there were situations where people were not that happy, but I don't think they were not happy with me. They were more not happy with their own marriages or some parts of the church or something like that.
Right.
I always felt very good to work with the people and also heard a lot about it. I get letters from them and so on.
Right.
And I can also tell Birgitta was supporting in a way when I was out traveling as a seminary. I usually find a little letter in my bag says that I miss you, I hope you do a good job, and I really want to come back home again. So on. So
it was, she would leave you letters?
Yeah.
How nice.
And I had a hard time to speak because I was nearly crying. I was moved.
Oh, that's beautiful.
By my lovely wife.
Come, come, ye saints. No toil nor labor fee.